Session 147, April 19, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, there are, as you know, actions within actions, thrust forward and backward, in and out, and in all directions. And so in Rupert's manuscript there existed a vitality that, of itself, would bring about other actions, as indeed I foresaw. Rob notes Jane now smiled. Seth, we have here an excellent focus of energy, an excellent use of action, that of itself propels itself outward. I might say, somewhat sarcastically, oh, ye of little faith. Nevertheless, that which is obvious to me is not obvious often to you, and it is not so difficult for me to see why at times you appear to be lacking in faith when such predictions are made. I am going to deal with some personal material here this evening, pertaining to Rupert. I have left him alone in this respect for too long. I heartily suggest that he seriously begin to tackle the smoking problem, for his health in many small but significant ways will benefit. Also, several basic causes for this habit no longer exist in fact. I will indeed help him to some degree, but I will not do all the work for him. Rob notes here Jane shook her head most definitely. Seth continues, smoking represents, among other things, to him a blanket of insulation, not only between himself and exterior reality, but a blanket between himself and interior reality. He is fully capable now of operating without such insulation, and it will be most beneficial for him to dispense with it. I expect a serious attempt to meet this problem head on, for he can triumph in this respect. I never do insist, but this is my recommendation. You will both find the coming season to be a most beneficial one in terms of your work and indeed of your health. Rupert is more stable a personality than he knows, and thus he can now handle himself without the dependence upon artificial support such as his smoking. He will find that work on his book will go very well, smoothly, and as I believe, as I have told you, our material will indeed be published. Action does not always move in what you would consider a straight line, because you view action in narrow terms, usually seeing it in physical terms only. You are inclined to think of it, or any effort, as a straight line from one point to another. This is hardly the case. Any action that affects the physical individual also has its reality within many other fields, and its effects and its nature are felt within them. A manuscript, or indeed any art form, contains action and sets up its own climate, either of psychological acceptance or rejection. This climate is more than the result of the materials or subject matter or nature of which the work is composed. It goes without saying that such work actually contains a portion of focused psychic energy, which is action, and which has its effects. The energy charge in this particular manuscript is not very vivid, but well focused. It has already had a vivid effect on more people than you know. I here suggest your first break. Rob notes, break at 9:21, Jane was dissociated as usual, that is, she retained a very general idea of what she had been speaking about. Seth has dealt with her smoking habit rather lightly at various times. He was more specific in the 31st and 32nd sessions, tying it in with her past lives. See Volume 1. Jane resumed at 9:28. Rupert may indeed resume psychological time experiments, however, and he did understand me correctly. His experiments for now should be limited to a 15-minute daily period, and they should be held in the evening or afternoon. Joseph should be in the house. Then we shall see what develops. I expect everything to go well. This evening's session will be a short one. Rupert is quite exhausted, though he may not realize it, and he will be quite recovered by morning. The emotional activity, the contrast of today, exhausted him, not one thing alone. This again concerns the nature of action, and I will, in our next session, begin to discuss the emotions as they are related to and a part of action. Rupert's momentary exhaustion this evening is a simple, natural result here of ordinary counterthrusts of emotional action and reaction. It is most important, again, to realize that action does not move in a straight line. Action may have mass. It may not have mass in other instances. Action will never have one effect only. This is a rather important point. Whenever an action seems to have but one effect, then there is a lack in perceptive abilities. Action within your field may appear to be affected by your time, but only that part of action which is physically materialized will be so affected. Action may appear to be at rest, but is never at rest, or stationary, or permanent. Action may appear to have a beginning and an ending, but this is, again, an error of perception. Action which is materialized within your plane appears within your field and disappears from your field. This in no way affects the basic nature of action itself. That is, it does not change the basic laws of action. Action will change both within your physical field and outside your physical field. You are only aware of a small part of action, that portion which is materialized within your system. You say that an action has begun when it enters your system. You say that an action is completed when it passes beyond your system. But the action, in those terms, began long before, and the action, in those terms, is never completed. Yet even the action as it occurs within your system is constantly changing in the ways which we have described, and this changing of itself implies infinities of beginnings and endings within action itself, with no ending, a real or permanent ending, and no beginning, a real beginning out of nothing. For each beginning carries within it action which has come before. Again here, when I speak in terms of before and after, I speak only for your convenience, for there is no before or after, only all action within the spacious present, occurring out of itself spontaneously in all directions, and forming of itself all the infinite fields and systems of actuality. I am here going to suggest another brief break, and then we will continue. Rob notes, Seth introduced the spacious present in the 41st session. Jane resumed 9:58. Seth, you will both find the coming seasons fulfilling. As the springtime progresses, this will be an excellent time for Rupert to cease his smoking, as his abilities renew themselves. Earlier in the year was a poor time. Rob notes, Jane has made several unsuccessful attempts to stop smoking in recent months. Seth, I believe that now you can trust this prediction. By summer, he will have broken the habit for good, and it will no longer be a worry. The various unfortunate effects that seem to be caused by smoking are not caused by the cigarettes as much as by those psychic habits which cause a personality to seek security within such habitual patterns that become compulsive. When the inner patterns are broken and the effects cease, but the inner patterns are associated by the personality with those outer habits, indeed, the need for the habits creates an exterior habit. This is almost a mechanistic response that is confining and indeed detrimental to expansion. Some personalities need a habit security and will switch from one habit to another. Rupert is strong enough now so that this will not be the case. He should keep a close watch upon his smoking now, and immediately after his birthday, he should break the habit completely, and I believe he will. We will have a full session Wednesday. My best regards to you both. You will have most pleasant dreams this evening. And again, all of your energies are in ascendancy. Rob, good night, Seth. Rob notes, Seth's comments above on switching habits is of interest to me personally. It reminds me that although I quit smoking in 1959, I tried for the better part of 2 years first to cut down. I then found quitting altogether relatively easy. However, I immediately switched to chewing on toothpicks and kept this up for well over a year. This habit then gradually fell away, practically without conscious effort. Session 148, April 21, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I see that we are all in high spirits. You realize that when one of you is indisposed, you may, of course, cancel a session. There is, indeed, nothing seriously wrong with our cigarette smoker, Rupert. Tension, however, has caused a disturbance. Tension arising, oddly enough, from the realization that his book will indeed be published. This tension will vanish. He needs to relax. I am going to speak this evening rather in depth concerning action within action. And there is much to be said here that will show you how actual dimensions of action are formed. However, this will be a brief session. We have much time available to us, and need not worry over an occasional missed or short session as long as our overall pattern is maintained. Jane now smiled. Seth, Rupert may, if he wishes, delete the following from the record. Seth, there is a definite connection between his desire to stop smoking and the fact that he has found silver threads among the black. His ego image, or in this case, Jane's ego image, is that of, among other things, a black-haired young woman, and that of a woman writer who smokes. Disturbing the image in two ways at once is indeed difficult, and I would suggest, as I believe you suggested, Joseph, that the smoking habit be tackled. Let us not try to change our image overnight in too many ways at once. These matters also helped add to Rupert's tension. I grabbed him rather viciously today. I would suggest that Jane do what I presume is womanly, and to a woman, logical under the circumstances. Purchase her preparations by all means, for here we have a clever attempt at trickery. To take focus away from the smoking problem, our Rupert suddenly decides to go a la natural, as far as hair is concerned. Jane shook her head in a mock concern, her eyes closed. Seth, this whore, these few white hairs, then very naturally became the reason to increase smoking, for he now has an excellent reason to feel sorry for himself. I am going to save my planned discussion until our next session and end this evening's session. It would be advisable if Rupert enjoyed either light reading this evening or perhaps your television, but no more heavy reading this evening. Rob notes, before the session, Jane had been reading a book on abnormal psychology. I noticed this and suggested she not read it, having in mind my recent experience with illness and my poring over the daily New York City newspapers. See the 143rd session. Seth, perhaps you might rub his back before retiring. He should feel well in the morning. I would like here to mention once more my suggestions concerning outings. The two of you should, when financially feasible, go out for an evening of enjoyment once a week. The important point here being that you are outside of your apartment, and also that you are with other people. This suggestion is beneficial to you both. I will make up for this briefer session, no doubt. My heartiest wishes to you both. Rob. Good night, Seth. Rob notes, Jane was dissociated as usual for a first delivery. She was aware of the gist of the material. She wasn't happy with the short session, since once she has begun a session, she has yet to mind continuing it. Jane also thought she knew something of what Seth had planned to discuss this evening relative to action within action. It concerned the actions taking place within the action of dreaming, reincarnations, etc.